Hello, beloved. It's good to be with you and to have the privilege of sharing just something that's been on my heart, specifically for the new year, and in a short little Bible study. I would like to speak to you about New Year's resolutions. I mean, we are entering shortly, God willing, we will be entering into 2022. And there are so many New Year's resolutions that people have during a time like this. And I would like to spend a few moments and just to look at this Bible study on New Year's resolutions. Before we do, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you for your word that teaches us how to look at life and how to look at our New Year's resolutions. I want to pray, Father, please open up our hearts and our minds so that we will be able to understand your word and we will be able to take your word to heart and apply it to our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Now, when we look at New Year's resolutions, it's always interesting how people at the end of the year, looking at the new year, they have these intentions to get rid of some of the weight that they've gained during the past year or so. Others wants to get fit. Others wants to get a new job, you know, that gives more money or has better perks or something like that. Others wants to renovate their homes or buy a new car or go to their dream holiday. People make plans, especially during a time like this. Now, as we face 2022 and at the start of a new year, there is this kind of excitement that builds up that we can start anew. We can do things differently. Things are going to be better. All we need to have is our New Year's resolutions and things will go well. I mean, I remember how Stefania and I wanted to go on this cruise ship. We wanted to celebrate our 30th wedding anniversary. When it came to that date, we were actually with some friends of ours, and we decided to just move it on to the next year. But the next year was 2020. And guess what happened? Yep, we all know. March 2020, COVID hit the planet, and everything was locked down. Our wedding anniversary was in July. And needless to say that we couldn't go on this cruise ship because there were no cruise ships sailing around the oceans because of COVID. But something else happened during that time, because it was in 2020 that I received news that I had cancer. We would have loved to go on this cruise, but God's providence did not allow us to go. It wasn't God's will. Why? Because one of the things that we do, and this is something that we've learned to do, is that we would pray the words that we find in James chapter 4, verse 15. Obviously, we don't pray exactly the same words. We pray it a little different. We say it a little different. But in James chapter 4, verse 15, we read, "If the Lord wills, we will live and go on a cruise." Or, "If the Lord wills and we live, we will do this or that." That's what we read in James chapter 4, verse 15. You see, beloved, it's so easy to plan our lives without acknowledging that God will have ultimate say over our lives. And James was writing to the 12 tribes who were dispersed throughout the world, and he kind of emphasized on them that they need to make sure that they live their lives in such a way that they always acknowledge that God has the final say over their lives. Because it's so easy to start living independent from God. Yes, we will say some things, but our lives are independent from him. Just listen to James, what he says in chapter 4, verse 13. Now, there are some of you that must have heard this before. Some of you must have studied it yourself. But I want to just place some emphasis on what James has to say. We're going to start with James chapter 4, and we're going to start with verse 13. This is what James says. He says, "Come now, you who say, 'Today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town, spend a year there, and trade and make a profit.' Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in arrogance, and all such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin. Oh, beloved, James is telling his readers that they should not say that they will do anything tomorrow or for the year to come or whenever if they do not say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. You see, in whatever is said about our planning, we should say, if it be God's will or God willing or if the Lord wills. Now, here's the lesson I believe that James wants his readers to learn. You see, James told them what they should say whenever they talk about their planning for the future. In verse 17, he tells his readers, if they now know what they should say, yeah, that they should be saying, if the Lord wills, or God willing, or Lord willing, if they know that they should say this, it would not be a sin if they do it. And it would not be a sin if they didn't know that they were supposed to say it. But if they know that they should be saying, if the Lord wills, or God willing, or the Lord willing, it is a sin if they do not say it. Can you see that? That's the implication. It's also called the sin of omission. We have two kinds of sins. It's the sin of commission and the sin of omission. The sin of commission is God says certain things in the Bible that we are not allowed to do. All right, so if we do those things, we are breaking God's direct command. That's the sin of commission. God has commissioned certain things that we are not allowed to do. And if we do those things, it is a sin. But here in James, we have the sin of omission. All right, so God is telling us, or James is telling us, God is speaking to us through James, the writing of James, and God is telling us, this is what we should be doing. We should be saying, God willing, I will do this or that. That's what we should be doing. And if I don't do it, it is the sin of omission. So I'm leaving out something that I am supposed to do. All right, that is the sin of omission. Now, why is it a sin? I believe, firstly, that it is a sin because it is just plainly disobedience to what God is saying. Not to do what we are instructed to do is basically sin. If I'm instructed to say, if the Lord wills, I will live and I will do this or that, then I should say it. Why should I say it? Because I'm told to do it. Now, James tells us that it's not only the sin of disobedience, because it's not written in the text that it's disobedience, but what is written in the text is that James tells us it is evil in the first place, and he says it is the sin of boasting in arrogance. Now, if I had to say that Stefani and I will be we're going on this luxury cruise ship next year, and we will be sailing to some islands off the coast of Africa, and we will be back after 7 days. Who says I'm going to be doing it? Who says I'll be alive? Can you see the arrogance in what I am saying? I'm speaking as if I am in charge of my own life, as if I have my life in my own hands. Who says that I will be alive next year? Who says that I will be alive tomorrow? Beloved, it is arrogance. There is arrogance just in my statement by just saying, oh, I'm going to do this and that. And I've spoken to people before where I said to them, well, God willing, I will do this and this. And they say to me, but it is God's will. How do they know it's God's will? How do people know that we will be alive tomorrow? We won't know. We don't know. Because our lives are in God's hands, there is an uncertainty about tomorrow. There's an uncertainty about next week. There's an uncertainty about the year that is to come. And that uncertainty is covered if I say, be it God's will, because I am placing my life and my everything in God's hands. I am dependent on God. It is arrogant to speak as if I have my own life in my own hands. It is arrogance to think that I am in control of my life in some other way. Now, beloved, if someone knows that he or she ought to say, if the Lord wills, I will live and do this or that, and they do not do it, it shows how little they think of God. It actually tells how much, it tells a lot about what they believe about God. They don't actually believe that God has life and death in His hands. They believe they have. They don't actually believe that God is worth it, you know, to kind of acknowledge Him in all of our ways. No, we don't believe, if you have this attitude, you don't really believe that God is worth it. People who do not acknowledge God in their ways and acknowledge God in their futures, they undermine His sovereignty, they undermine His power and His authority and His supremacy and His deity even. They undermine His protection. They literally undermine His will, not as if they can do it. They just do it by not acknowledging God in all their ways. You see, someone who does not acknowledge God in their decisions are arrogant. And James says that they boast in their arrogance. You see, all arrogance is sin, beloved. All boasting is sin. All disobedience is sin. And our context is, it's the sin of not acknowledging God for who He is. Remember that God is our creator. God is the potter. We are the clay. We are under His control. He is in charge. He is the one who decides what happens in our lives. And if I walk around with this arrogance that I can plan my life and I can do whatever I want to do, and it's just, it's me and me and me and me and me and me and me, then I am undermining everything about who God is. All right, so if someone knows that he or she should acknowledge God in their plans and they do not do it, for such a person it is sin. Such a person should repent and start acknowledging God in all of their planning. Now, verse 14 gives a beautiful perspective on life. A lovely perspective, because I think this is kind of something that we need to keep in mind all the time. Beloved, if we are to compare our lives to the life of the Almighty God, remember, God has no beginning, He has no end. God is eternal. But James tells us in verse 14 that we are like a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. So how in the world can we who appear for a little while and then vanishes, how can we plan and do make plans as if we are eternal? Can you see the arrogance? It is as if we think we are God of our own lives. This should not be the case. God is eternal. God knows what's going to happen next year. We are like a mist that appears for a little time and then we vanish. Then we do not exist anymore. So how in the world can we speak in such arrogance as if we are eternal? You see, this arrogance that James is speaking about is not just the arrogance of me not planning with keeping God in mind. No. Our arrogance in not acknowledging God in all our ways is an arrogance where we believe we are God. We are eternal beings, as if we're going to live forever in this body, in this life that we are in now. You see, beloved, there are enormous arrogance in someone who think that they can plan their lives without the eternal God being central in their planning. Now listen, it's important to understand that James is not telling us that it is a sin to plan. No, he's telling us that it is a sin to plan without acknowledging God as the one who has our lives in His hands, that we live and we die in accordance to God's will. But there's another thing we see in our text. Beloved, it's such a blessing to know that God has our lives in His powerful hands, that we can actually acknowledge it with our lips, that we can say it. That we can open up our mind, our mouths and acknowledge that the Almighty God's will triumphs over my life and over my plans. See, beloved, if I say, if the Lord wills, I am actually declaring that God has the final say over my life. My life is in His hands. My death is in His hands. What I'm going to do is in His hands. Whether I do business or not is in His hands. Whether I make a profit or not is in His hands. Whether I will travel is in His hands. Whether I will, where I will travel to is in His hands. The time that I will spend in a specific place is in His hands. All in all, my whole life is in His hands. That's what I'm saying by just acknowledging these words and saying these words. If it be God's will, or God willing, or the Lord, if the Lord wills. Wow. James is just saying to us what we need to do is acknowledge God in all of our ways, in all of our conversations, in all of our planning. Plan. It's right. It's good. We should plan. But acknowledge God. There's one last thing that I would like to share with you from our passage. When we say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that, we are openly proclaiming God's rule over our lives. We are declaring that He is our ruler. He is our Lord. He is King of our lives. Oh, beloved, and this is such a beautiful testimony of our faith in God's sovereign reign in our lives. Whenever we speak to someone and we use those words, we are saying to the person we are speaking to, you know what? I am under God's rule. I acknowledge God's will in my life. And I do it with these simple words. If it be God's will, I will see you tomorrow. If it be God's will, I will do this or that. God willing, I will be going to church on Sunday. God willing, I will be losing some weight. I would love to lose some weight, and I will lose some weight in this year to come. God willing, I would love to have a new job, and God willing, I will get this job and see if I can get a new job or get a new car or do renovation on my home. God willing, I will do all these things because my life is in God's hands. But I'm actually acknowledging it by just saying these words, God willing, or the Lord wills, or if it be God's will. Now, beloved, everyone who knows that they should do this and they don't, James says, for them, it is a sin. It is disobedience. It's boasting. It's arrogance. It is actually trying to take God's place in my life. And this should not be the case. This is what James says. Beloved, what will we lose if we acknowledge God? What will we lose if we say, if it be God's will, I will do this or that? I will lose nothing. In fact, I will gain something. I will gain the fact that I will not be sinning against God. And let me tell you, those who now know, so if you're listening to this Bible study and you know what God says, if you do not do what God says, what James is revealing to us, James says that you will be sinning. But if you didn't know, you're not sinning. So don't fall into this trap of arrogant pride. Don't fall into this trap of boasting in arrogance. Rather, just do what God says. It's amazing. It will take a while for you to get used to it, but once you can do it, it's just amazing. So, as we go into this new year, and as we have or contemplate which kind of resolutions we will have for the next year, this coming year, remember to say, if it be God's will, God willing, or if the Lord wills, I will do so and so because we acknowledge Him in all our ways. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name, and thank you so much that you, as the living Almighty God, has given us your word to teach us not only what we should not do, but you are teaching us what we should be doing. And enable us to acknowledge you in all our ways, we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thank you very much, beloved. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you His peace. God willing, in this next year, we will have our next Bible study. Until then, God willing, bye-bye.